And it is written in the first book of Samuel, chapter 7, verse 5. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had it assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-car. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to her, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also judged Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. This is the word of God.
Great if you're visiting us today. We're busy working away on Sunday mornings through the book of 1 Samuel. So I'd like you to open your Bibles with me and you can follow with us that passage that Anne very kindly read to us just now in 1 Samuel and chapter 7. Now I want to tell you, if I may, friends, that the passage we're going to have a look at today is one of the most amazing things that ever happened in the nation of Israel. And as I take you through it, I'm sure it's something that you will say to yourselves, it's something we long, if ever it could happen, here in our own land, and certainly among us as individuals. It was a unique and an amazing event when Samuel calls the people of Israel to a place called Mizpah, and they all came to a point of rededication to God himself. Let me sketch just for a minute the background to you. Listen to what verse 2 says, and then you can see what was going on before. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. Now, when the writer was inspired by the Spirit to write those words, he reminds us clearly that it wasn't just over a short period of time. It went on for 20 long years. That Israel was suppressed by the Philistines. The Philistines were for many years their enemies. They gave him a very difficult and a very tough time, and it went on year in and year out. The Israelites were suppressed by the Philistines. But not only that, for 20 long years they had declined spiritually. And that was the biggest challenge of all. Instead of growing and maturing and developing in their walk with God, it was just the opposite. So there is a spiritual decline and there is the oppression from the Philistines. It wasn't easy. It was very, very difficult indeed. And into that situation, friends, Samuel came, and in verse 3, he says this. If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths, and commit yourselves to the Lord. Serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So what Samuel does is he comes to these people, and he says, for 20 long years, you've not only been suppressed, but you've wandered away from God. Now, if, you see, friends, if, it's conditional. If you really want to come right, if you really want to come back to God, if you really want to be delivered from the Philistines, then what I'm telling you to do is, you must get rid of your gods, you must get rid of your Ashtaroths, and you must commit yourselves to God, and you must serve him only. But it's up to you. You make the choice. You make the call. If you want to, I'm calling you to come to Mitzvah. Come to this town, all of you, and if you are willing, we are to put things right with God and right with our difficulties. It was an enormous challenge. And so the scene was set for one of those great gatherings of God's people in which they would all come and meet together at this little place of Mitzvah in order to renew their covenant with God. It was the most amazing thing that you could witness. And so they came. One by one, family by family, tribe by tribe, and slowly they all drifted to this place called Mitzvah. And when they came to Mitzvah, my brothers and sisters, I want you to notice three things that happened. Three very, very critical things that occurred. When we were praying in the vestry this morning, and I really do mean that, is I pray that it could be true for someone here today. It may not have been for 20 years, it may have been for the last few years, but spiritually, things are not going well. Spiritually speaking, you've let things slip. Spiritually speaking, your walk with Jesus is not what it ought to be. You see, it was okay a few years ago, but for whatever reason, it's gone cold. And you say to yourself this morning, how do I put it right? How do I come back to God? On another sad night, really, I was with a young girl on Friday of 19 years of age. She's just fallen pregnant outside of marriage with another man who is married. And it's a huge, huge mess. I'm not too sure how we're going to sort all of this out with God's help. But I said to her, you know, the first thing that we want to say to you is we will love you and help you. But you know what you need to do? You need to come back to Jesus. That's always priority. Now, how did these people do it? Samuel said, come. If you want to, come. And we are going to come back to God. So what happened there? Let me show you. The first thing that you notice, that is incredible, it's moving to read, is that repentance took place at Mizpah. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel to Mizpah. I will intercede with the Lord for you. And when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and they poured it out before the Lord. And on that day they fasted and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. What did they do? The first thing that they did was they came and they poured out water. They came and literally poured the water out onto the ground. Now that, of course, as you and I know, was a symbolical act. It was a symbol. It outwardly represented something that was taking place inside. That same thought, I'm sure you've picked it up, is mentioned in a number of occasions in the Bible. In Psalm 22, for example, in verse 14, when speaking of Jesus, it says this, I am being poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint, the same thought. Or Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 19, like water being poured out in the presence of the Lord. Or in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14, like water spilled on the ground which cannot be recovered, so we must die. My friends, that act of pouring out the water was a symbol of their heartfelt distress. Their heartfelt distress. They were coming before God and they were saying to God, listen to it again, we have sinned. We have sinned. Over these years, Lord, we've sinned. We've done what we should never have done. We have thought what we should never have thought. We have said what we should never have said. We have not done what we should have done. And they come in before God and they say, God, we are sinners. We are sinners. There's real repentance and an acknowledgement of their sinfulness, of their helplessness. Something which in 2009 people see as very negative. People don't like talking like this. They'd rather talk about positive self-images or self-improvement. But not here. Here it's completely the opposite. Here is a people broken. Here is a people conscious of their sin. And they're crying out to God, my friends. You know what? That's the first step back to God. It's the first step back to a revival of His Spirit. One of the commentators puts it so much better than I'll ever be able to do. His name is Gordon Keddy. Willem knows all about him. He said these lovely words. Says, what we need today is a new heart that has been reborn by the Spirit, and flowing from that a new life expressed in repentance for my sin and a saving faith in Jesus Christ as the only Redeemer for sinners. This new life in Jesus does not begin with a sense of our self-worth or some enlarged vision of some self-generated capacity for good works? No! It begins with a sense of our helplessness, a sense of our utter destitution that is produced by the Holy Spirit. All the people at Mizpah is where they are. Broken. You know, sometimes we sing that little chorus. It says this. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. It's easy to sing those words. We pray, Lord, break us. Lord, break me. Take away all my sin and my pride and my arrogance and my self-sufficiency. Help me to see my sinfulness. And pour out the water. And secondly, they fasted. They fasted. Now the fasting was never ever commanded in the law of Moses. But later on, of course, it took place. Sometimes the individuals fasted. David did that in 2 Samuel 12. Even wicked Ahab did that in 1 Kings 21. Sometimes it was corporate in Zechariah chapter 8. But in all these instances, it was an aid in order to concentrate the mind upon the crisis in hand. So the pouring out of the water and the fasting of the people were both symbolical of self-denial and of brokenness and a sense of my utter, total helplessness. I may ask you, my dear friends, have you ever been there? What if you've ever been there before God, broken? Crying, perhaps, of your sin. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to see. That's step one. When I come back to God, Lord, break me. Help me to see who I am. A sinner. Weak, destitute. What's number two? What's the second thing that then happened? From verse 7. While the Philistines heard that the Israelites had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines, and they said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a suckling lamb, and he offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered them. The most amazing, amazing thing. The Philistines think that Israelites are going to attack, so they stir up there, and the Israelites became afraid, and all that they could say is, please, Samuel, pray for us, and he does, he intercedes to God, and God heard his prayer and delivered them. I want you to notice what Samuel did. The first thing he did was, he took an 8-day-old lamb. It was a suckling lamb, 8 days old. That was the age that was required of these sacrificial lambs. And what it would do, he took this lamb and he offers it to God as a burnt offering. And you will remember, friends, that the difference of the burnt offering to the meal offering or to the sin offering, or the trespass offering, all those other ones, the difference is this, that the burnt offering was completely and utterly and totally offered. Nothing remained. Why is that? It was saying this, God, we want to offer to you everything. It was a token of absolute consecration. Absolute consecration. And that's the second step, isn't it, friends? You see, step one, when I'm longing for that close walk with God, it begins with repentance. When I've sinned, it begins with repentance. I come before God repentant over what I've said or done or thought, but I mustn't stay there. I've got to move on from there and come to the Lord Jesus, who is our Lamb of God, and totally and completely and utterly surrender my life to Him. You know, there are certain things in life that you and I will never forget. Never. I'll never forget the day I first born, son was born. I'll never forget that day. Never forget the day when I married Mary. I never thought God would ever give me such a wonderful girl. Sure, I couldn't say the vows. I was too choked up. And I'll never forget when my dad died. And the last words I heard my father say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Gee, I've told you that often. It's written with diamonds in my heart and mind. And I had a father who said, Jesus, I've sinned. Please forgive me. And I give you my life. That's what Samuel says. As the Lamb, I give you my life. Israel is saying, God, for 20 years, we've been in a mess. Not only that, but the second thing was, He took a stone and He erected it as a memorial for this amazing event, and He called it Ebenezer. We had a lovely few days with Mary's mom and dad in Cape Town. It was fantastic. It was lovely seeing them and our son Greg. It was wonderful. But we went to two memorials. The one is, for those of you who haven't been to Cape Town for a while, it's the most amazing monument to the Holocaust. This one man has donated 20 million rand to put up this memorial. And it's moving. It's unbelievable. And we looked around that. And the other one was to go to something I wanted to do for years, to go to Robben Island and see the cell where Nelson Mandela was in prison. Both memorials of what happened in the past. But you know what Samuel does? It's the same. Samuel says, now put up the stone as a memorial. And you call it Ebenezer. That's a beautiful name, as you all know. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. What is the result in a man or a woman's life when this happens, my friends? These are great times when it happens. Well, the last point there, number three, is there was peace with God. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. And throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. And it goes on, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel continued as judge of Israel. Peace and national security both came upon the nation of Israel, endured for the most part during the time of Samuel's judgeship. They'd moved from apostasy, they'd moved from oppression, they'd moved to repentance, and now they were enjoying the very peace of God. And these people were now on the brink of what was going to be a long and a painful period of transition that would at times bring revival, that would move away from a republic ruled by judges, where they would become a monarchy, whose king, in the presence of David, would lead them to victory, but most importantly, David was going to lead them to the promise of the Messianic King who was going to come, Jesus. So I say to you, my friends, right through the Bible, you won't often read of something as moving as what happened here at Mizpah. And I leave it with you this morning. In all that's happening in our lives, as individuals and as a country, I say to you, the greatest need is for a closer walk with God. But how do I do that? It begins with repentance. It moves from repentance to absolute consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ through trust in what He did for us on the cross. And the result is the peace of God ruling in the life. Let's pray together. Just for a few moments, we'd like to just close our eyes and just give us the opportunity to look into one's own life. Maybe there are those, even here today, and you need to put things right with Jesus. I want to give you time to do that. Opportunity for you to come to Jesus Christ with humility and to repent of your sin. And to acknowledge your brokenness. And then I want you to go to Jesus with absolute, total dedication. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Break us. Melt us. Mold us. Fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Each one of us here today, we also long for what happened at Mizpah. A fresh meeting with our precious Savior. Help us, Lord, to know what these things mean in our own lives. How we pray one day, maybe we'll hear of our own country doing what Israel did at Mizpah, turning away from its sinfulness, all its concerns for so many other things, but not a return to Christ. Won't you do that for your glory, Lord? So we commit one another to you now, praying that by your grace, for the rest of our lives, we'll live for Christ and Christ alone. And we ask it all in His wonderful name. Amen.